Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 121 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on September the 12th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Fighting out of the orange corner, Peter Mandel.
Yep.
Yeah. Touch gloves and let's go. We are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. And we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin?
I'm in a UFC kind of mood.
Are you?
Yeah, because I got to have the pleasure of watching CM Punk fight like Montgomery Burns.
Yeah, I heard that didn't go so well.
Smithers, help me slay this beast. It's the Disney lover in me. I just like seeing a bad person get his comeuppance.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that was, how was your weekend? What'd you do? Anything magical?
I'm always busy. Work stuff.
Yeah.
Kids are back in school. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets crazy.
Yeah. I actually, just yesterday, Sunday, I left the house with the intention of going food shopping, and halfway to the supermarket, I just made a turn and ended up going to Magic Kingdom.
Really?
Yeah. Just out of the blue. Just me. I wanted to go see the fall decorations.
But you were like, you know what? I don't need food that bad.
I eventually did go food shopping afterwards, but I went to Magic Kingdom first. It was like, it was early in the morning. Like, I left the house around like 8:45, so I got to Disney around like 9:15.
Okay.
Like, parked and then got into Magic Kingdom. Like, you know, grabbed a Space Mountain Fast Pass on the way over, and then I got there and Splash Mountain had a 5-minute wait, so I got on Splash, and it was just fun. It was really not very crowded at all.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, the fall decorations are up, and you know, it's very par for the course. It's pretty much what we're used to. Nothing, you know, pumpkins, Mickey heads, scarecrows, things like that. But it's not really like, it's nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, but you know what? That's all right too.
That's fine. No, because I like the fall decor, but I'm just saying that there's nothing new. Though I will say, last year they did this too, but I do like it. They are starting to decorate Liberty Square more.
Okay.
Like, just like with like the yellow and orange and brown, like, you know, colored streamers and whatnot.
I like it.
I like it too. No, it was good. You know, just pretty much walked around, you know, got my cherry tomatoes in Liberty Square.
Oh, nice.
Cherry tomatoes and a little seltzer water and, you know, all good. I got drenched.
What else did
I got
you need?
Drenched on Splash Mountain because I was front row by myself. And I decided that I was going to do for the picture. I put my arms like up on the thing in front of me. Like I was bored and like put my one arm on my head. Like I was daydreaming.
Right.
I'm like, this is going to be really funny. And then like I was leaning forward. So the water all just hit me right in the face.
So that's what you get.
Yeah. And you know what? It was one of those Splash Mountain adventures where it's like, you know, like when you first take off on Splash Mountain, you're going around that little bend, and the people that are already coming down can sometimes splash you?
Yep.
I got nailed with that twice.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
As long as you know you deserve that.
Yeah, and recently on Splash Mountain, I actually, you know when you're going through the Laughing Place and there's those jet streams of water that fly over your head?
Right.
I got hit with one of those recently. And I mean, like, hit with it.
Huh. All right.
I didn't think that was supposed to be possible.
Maybe you started something new there.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe it's not possible.
All right. So before we jump into the news this week, I wanted to talk about a good friend of mine, my friend Mikey Weisenhunt, who he designed my original book cover. He's designed a number of the show art for a lot of the WDPN shows. He made the Geek Watchtower logo, the Mouselanius logo. the KevCast cast logo, a whole bunch, a whole slew of them. And so Mikey is currently creating T-shirts. He has a TeePublic store, and he is making some Disney ones, too, and thought that it might be cool to share those with our audience. And so you can find those, folks. He has one up right now. He's going to be posting more up every month, and it's going to be teepublic.com. So that's teepublic.com/user/magical meltdown. So that's teepublic.com/user/magical meltdown. And his first shirt is awesome. I was the first person to buy one. I thought they were absolutely amazing. It is it's a picture of Spaceship Earth with a Donald Trump wig on it. And it says, Make Epcot Great Again.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know you're ordering one. Lover of T-shirts that you are.
That's true.
So, yeah, I hope everybody will go and support him because he's really, really talented. He's going to do some Two Men in the Mouse related stuff, maybe some like inside jokes from the show and stuff like that as well. So I highly, highly recommend it. I love the Make Epcot Great Again thing. Mikey made that that post in the he posted the graphic in the Two Men group as a joke like a month or so ago. And it was hugely popular with everybody. It's what I do. OK, I make huge theme park attractions. It's going to be huge, okay? We're going to build a wall around Epcot. We're going to take all the immigrants from Arendelle and the Marvel Universe, and we're going to send them home, Peter Mandel.
Look, you're mixing your politics and your...
we're going to build a wall around Epcot, and we're going to make the Mexico Pavilion pay for it, okay? It's what I do.
Oh.
And that's not me getting political. That's just me thinking that it's a funny concept.
It is. Yeah, listen, this whole thing, unfortunately, has been more funny than it should be.
I know. Okay, so yeah, I hope everybody will. I know I will be walking around the park sporting my Make Epcot Great Again shirt. I hope you guys all will, too. Okay, so ready for the news?
I am ready.
Brought to you, as every week, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for no additional cost to you. That's Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, our good friend. In worldwide news this week, Peter Mandel, we have new Walt Disney World ambassadors for this year. I mean, I thought that this was just an important thing to talk about because I really think that we need to let the people know who is representing us as our ambassadors to Walt
Now,
Disney
World. Let me ask you a question. How often is it every 2 years they do this?
I don't know. I think it's...
is it every year?
It's January 1st, 2017 to December 31st, 2018. So it's every 2 years.
Okay, every 2 years.
Yeah, so the pair that's taken over, the dream team, if you will, representing us, well, representing the cast members, is like our bridge, our window into the Disney world, is going to be Kevin, the face, Facey, and Brandon, not Peter Mandel Peters. Face and Pete. We need like a cool tag team name for them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That name wasn't cutting it, though.
Yeah, no, like Pete. We can call him Pete Face. Yeah, Pete Face in the house, bringing you all your Disney news. You guys want to know what the cast members are thinking? You want to know what the Walt Disney Company is thinking? Pete Face has got you covered. Pete Face is right here.
What do you think these guys really do?
Well, I'll tell you what they really do.
Okay.
Originally from Brooklyn, New York, Ken, this is the face that we're talking about here. I'm officially calling him the face. Finally, the face has come back to the Magic Kingdom. From Brooklyn, New York.
Not Parts Unknown?
No. He didn't go to Parts Unknown High School. originally from Brooklyn, New York, the face was most recently a leader at Disney's Grand Floridian Resort in housekeeping and custodial. So the face keeps a clean house, Peter Mandel.
Okay.
The face knows what he's doing. The face knows exactly how... The face knows his way around that cleaning cart. The face can make you different animals out of towels and whatnot.
I like that.
The face knows what you want. Whereas Brandon Peters... We need a name for Brandon Peters. How about B-Pete?
B-Pete. I think Brandon's a good name.
I like B-Pete. I think that'll work. So B. Pete was is from South Florida, and he was a performer in entertainment. So what is the most entertaining thing that we can think of that B. Pete probably played?
Hoop-de-doo.
Hoop-de-doo. Okay. You think hoop-de-doo. I'm going to go with occasionally when the Carousel of Progress breaks down, B-Pete had to wear a dog costume and sit on the floor in every single one. And as it turns, there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. B-Pete has
robotic.
To get up.
More robotic.
Yes. Whoa, B-Pete, you're a little bit too organic for this one here.
You looked real there.
Listen, B-Pete, I really appreciate the zeal and the zest in which you're approaching the role of Rover here. However, we need you to dial it back just a little bit. B-Pete.
Hoop-de-doo's like the dream, right?
You think Hoop-de-doo? But do you think B-Pete like achieved the levels of Hoop-de-doo? Do you think
maybe.
Like he rose to that level, or do you think he was just like kind of like filling in for audio animatronics?
I don't know if he got to this point.
Maybe he's been the pirate auctioneer, because you know I've been saying the pirate auctioneer looks like a real person now.
Right.
What if that was B-Pete this whole time?
All right.
You're not buying this, are you?
Not even a little bit.
No. What else could? I mean, like, what do you think is like? What do you think is like the job that you can get in entertainment where you're just like, oh no,
the one you don't want,
the one you really don't want, like when they're like, you've been cast as this, like, and you're just like, oh, this is gonna be awful. Like, do you think there is one? Because like it probably used to be like one of the mice from Cinderella, but I feel like now they're like so rare that like they're cool now.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's cool.
Well, any characters, I think, are kind of a good thing, right?
You think?
Oh, you know, you think there's ones that aren't cool?
I mean, what if B-Pete was like the first mate character in the Captain Jack live show? Like, nobody cares about him. Everybody's there to see Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, but doesn't he really run the show?
No, I mean, Jack Sparrow is the star of the show. That's like, it's like you're saying, like, B-Pete gives and gives and gives, but gets nothing back from the audience. Like, like he's carrying this pirate show on his back. And he's not really getting anywhere with it because all anyone cares about is Jack Sparrow, who comes in to hog the spotlight.
Well, deservingly.
You think Jack Sparrow deserves it more than B-Pete? All that work that guy puts in? I mean, that guy's a workaholic. He's a horse.
I know, but everyone's there to see Jack, you know? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like thus is like the tragedy of B-Pete.
We got to find out his real deal.
Yeah, like, I mean, saying he's an entertainment, okay, like, well, whatever. But, like, I mean, if this guy's going to be our ambassador, I need to know a little bit more about him. You think the people of Naboo were like, oh, yeah, Palpatine, we don't, you know, like, whatever, he's our ambassador, but we don't really want to know much about him. Which, you know, like, and it's good that apropos that I use that, because he ended up, you know, destroying the galaxy.
That's true, that went south.
Exactly. So, like, if this is going to be our ambassador, I feel like we need to know a little bit more about B-Pete in the face. Otherwise, we're not, you know, how else are we ever going to know exactly what they're doing for us?
Is he really our ambassador, though?
I feel like he is.
Huh.
I feel like he's our window into the Disney world.
Okay.
You know, the Disney Ambassador Program began in Disneyland in 1964 when Walt needed additional help to deal with media interviews and appearances. So this is a Walt thing.
Yes.
Like, do you think, like, in order to, like, choose the ambassador, like, you line up a bunch of, like, candidates in front of, like, in front of, like, the thing in, like, the firehouse in Disneyland and, like, the lights choose?
No.
You don't think Walt's making this choice himself?
No.
From the Netherworld?
I do not.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I thought it could have been a possibility. I just wanted to check and see if you know.
Probably not.
Yeah. Since then, it has become one of the most sought-after roles, representing more than 70,000 cast members at Walt Disney World at events, openings, and media appearances. So basically, B-Pete and the Face are going to be cutting a lot of ribbons. They're going to be talking to a lot of press. They're going to be kissing a lot of babies.
That sounds awesome.
They're going to be bringing their combined might, forged in the fires of entertainment and janitorial housekeeping services, like, to work for us, the fans of Disney.
Do you think you could have applied for this?
No, I mean, not with stiff competition like B-Pete in the Face.
Hmm.
Like, what is it? B-Pete and K-Squared? Like, that wasn't going to ever fly.
It would have been awesome if you went in there and you were like, listen, I really just want this job.
Like, yeah, like, this is the job that I want. Like, they were like, oh, we'd like to interview you for Monorail. Like, listen, I'm flattered, but I really think the Face needs K-Squared by his side.
I think this is one of those things where I really know what I'm good at, and it's clearly being an ambassador.
Seriously, and like who do you think would complement my ambassadorial style better, B-Pete or the Face, given all that we know about the two of them?
I'm going to say the face because you really, you know, BP, you don't seem happy with. So
I mean, I'm not. No, I mean, I have a lot of respect for BP. He's the unsung hero here, being that he has to have all those, you know, garbage jobs. You just don't want me hanging out with another Pete.
No, I'm okay with that.
No, I'm pretty sure you're like, I've seen.
Please make friends with all the Petes you want.
Do you think being a Disney ambassador is like your first gateway into the Illuminati?
Oh, is that, what is that?
That was my Batman ringtone.
A little Batman action,
you know,
background?
Little Adam West Batman action. But like, do you think like that's how you get into the Illuminati? Like first you're a Disney ambassador and then all of a sudden you're chosen to be part of the secret society that runs the world?
Probably not, no.
I've often wondered if you're in the Illuminati, Pete.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Huh. Oh, that'd be cool.
I mean, you're kind of, you know, you're in the Rogue Comics. You're the figurehead of this store. It's kind of the nexus of geek energy that runs through the world. And as we know, geek energy is kind of what powers the world now of pop culture.
That's true. So, we've taken over.
I mean, am I getting a little bit too close to the truth? Should I stop for my own safety?
Was there any other news this week?
I mean, there's lots of other news this week, but I'm a little concerned that you're in the Illuminati now.
No.
No, you're not in the Illuminati, or no, I should stop asking questions. You just had to dig, didn't you, Kev? You just had to keep going.
Say both.
A little bit of both? All right. More on this as it develops. But okay, so be Pete in the face. If you see him, you know, tell him we heard about you on Two Men and the Mouse. Could you imagine it's now for the opening of Pandora, the world of Avatar, be Pete in the face. But first, their opening act, Free Dap, a.k.a. the White Rappers.
I love Free Dap.
Somebody actually posted a video of Free Dap on our Facebook group.
Okay, was it good?
Pete, I have never been more vindicated about anything in my life.
Really?
Oh, it's so bad, and all of our listeners, like, the one comment that sticks out of me, I don't remember who said it, I think it might have been Scott Farney, but it was just kind of like, and Off Kilter was fired? It's scary levels of bad.
I felt like I should stick out. I've never even heard Free Daps, but I wanted to at least, you know.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, like, DAP, you know what another, like, acronym for DAP is? Disney Annual Pass.
Wow.
Do you think they're giving them out? Like, you get to come for free for a year, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh my God, these white rappers are awesome.
That's a great idea. Somebody should tell them that.
Okay, so ready for some resort news?
Yes.
We're done with B. Pete in the face?
I guess, yeah. I mean, you'd know real info on him.
I think we created a much better backstory than BP in the face could have ever had. All right, so resort news. The Holiday Brunch is returning to Disney's Grand Floridian Resort and Spa at 1900 Park Fair.
Okay.
This is a prefix menu, which people were tweeting me about, like, how to pronounce it. So, which is funny because it pops up more than once. I mean, you know what they say? It's prefix, but it's not really prefix because it's a buffet. So I don't think this is actually prefix. It's $37 for adults, $22 for kids. It's on the Disney dining plan for a credit. It will be taking place November 20th through the 26th, and then again on December 18th to January 1st. And it will be from 12:45 p.m. to 2:10 p.m. All-you-can-eat brunch buffet with a create-your-own omelet station, a carving meat station, Mickey waffles, and more. Pete, these are that's like three of my favorite things in the world.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I mean, like, to the point where, like, my mom and dad and my brothers are coming down to Orlando for Christmas this year.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, pretty neat. And we're going to Disney for... I may insist that we have to go to the brunch.
Interesting. Now, so they're coming down for Christmas?
Yeah, we're doing Christmas at my uncle's in Port Charlotte with my aunt, my uncle, my grandparents, my family. And then my dad, my mom and dad rented a house, like, literally down the street from where I live in Davenport. Like a nice, you know, 3-bed, 2-bath house with a pool in the backyard and everything. So they're going to be down here for like 3 or 4 days, and, you know, it's gonna be nice.
But you're not hitting the parks on Christmas?
No. We're going to be in Port Charlotte on Christmas. We're going to be hitting the parks, probably one day. I'm trying to convince my dad to do one day with a park hopper pass so that we can do Magic Kingdom in the morning and then Epcot at night.
Okay.
Just because I want him to get both, but, like, you know, it's just the prices are, with the tiered pricing system now, like, it's so expensive to go that week. It's like one of the busiest weeks ever. So I'm trying to get them to, like, get the tickets now so we can plan and make reservations and fast passes and whatnot. But it's kind of like pulling the, it's like BP trying to break out into a face character.
We get it.
You know, like, it's just not going to happen no matter how much you want it.
Right.
I like how I've completely sold BP'd out. Like, he's just like, he's never going to do it. But then again, he's an ambassador. And one might say the ambassador is the ultimate face character.
Ah.
This is a true Cinderella story of BP'd.
I hope so.
I'm happy for the guy. Listen, if anyone deserves it, it's BP'd. I'm sure the face is equally, you know, qualified for this role.
Equally awesome.
Equally awesome. Okay, so moving along, hype balloons were sighted over Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort.
Okay.
So that was over near the bus loop perimeter by the Barbados building. So what do you think they are planning at Caribbean Beach, Peter Mandel?
Huh, hype balloons. Mm-hmm. What could it be?
I'm wondering if maybe Disney Vacation Club is going to expand to moderate resorts.
Wow.
Could you imagine, like, with how quickly DVC is growing and how difficult it is to get into, like Beach Club and things like that. Do you think, like, there might be a more affordable DVC option or, like, less points being spent to go to, say, a moderate resort like Caribbean Beach?
You know, it's so crazy. I'm sure we have a ton of listeners who are DVC members. And
yeah,
like,
I mean, I know a bunch
it's
of them myself.
Awesome. I can't even. It's crazy to me that this many people do it.
A lot of people do it, dude. And now, especially, that Disney's giving you, like, special stuff just for doing it. Like, there are special areas of the parks that are now only for DVC members. I feel like that alone makes it almost worth it.
Yeah, that's, wow.
That Top of the World Lounge is no joke, dude. I've been up there.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I also know how much it costs, so I'm like, worth it.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm sure you looked into this extensively. You don't do anything without a lot of research, so.
Yeah, I like research.
All right, ready for some Magic Kingdom news?
Let's do it.
So, remember the Main Street Electrical Parade dining package at Tony's Town Square that we talked about a couple months ago?
Yes.
Well, there's no longer a Main Street Electrical Parade to be had coming soon. So, obviously, the dining package has to go, and it's been changed to a Festival of Fantasy dining package.
Okay.
It's Festival of Fantasy. I love that
music. Is that the one about the leaves?
What? No. That's the seasonal overlay to Friendship
right.
Fair.
That's
right. I really do love Festival of Fantasy, though. When's the last time you just really stopped and watched Festival of Fantasy?
Like, never.
Never?
No, I mean, you mean, like, actually been like, hey, let's stop.
Let's stop and watch this parade go by.
I don't think I've ever really done it. But you know I'm not really a parade guy.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm usually not either, but I gotta tell you, when this parade goes by, no matter what I'm doing, I stop.
Well, it's funny because, like, last time we were going to Tom Sawyer Islands, and we were kind of, like, hanging out, and the boat was going by, and we could see it. And, you know, you can actually see it really well from right there because it's so huge. And it looks great from, like, far away. But sometimes it's just as I get, like, really close to, like, the crowds and everything.
The Festival of Fantasy Parade has literally made an attempt on my life, and I still love it.
I know, and you still are with it.
Remember when the dry ice hit my arm and scorched me?
Yep.
I still love it. That's something. Stupid Peter Pan float. I get a little nervous when that Peter Pan float comes by. I'm not going to lie.
I can't say I blame you.
It's like Nom flashing back before my eyes. I've seen some things, man. Some things being tiny little bits of dry ice that landed subtly on my arm and gave me a tiny burn.
It's all you need is one tiny burn.
Yep, I should have sued. I'd be rich right now, Peter Mandel. Rich.
Or ambassador of Disney World.
Oh! Yeah, but then I'm taking it away from a guy that really deserves, like, BP to the face.
That's true.
I got to feel like this is the team that Disney needs in place right now. Maybe not the team that we need, but I feel like they're the team that we deserve.
All right.
Okay, so... further Magic Kingdom news. There are new colors to the rocks in Tomorrowland or by the big Tomorrowland entrance, which I know doesn't sound like a big deal, but it really is a big deal.
Now, wait a minute. Where is this?
You know, like the bridge going from the hub into Tomorrowland underneath the big Tomorrowland sign? So, yep. Like, right there over by where Cosmic Rays is, you've got those rocks that jut out of the water, which, honestly, you might not have ever even noticed them.
Right.
But you will now because of different colors. Like, they were normally, like, just normal, like, beige, pinkish kind of just rock-colored.
Rock tones.
Yeah, just rock tones. Yeah, rock tree. But now they've actually made them, like, blue and, like, a metallic purple, so they look very tomorrow-ish.
Oh, that sounds awesome, actually.
Yeah, they're like the rocks of tomorrow. It's kind of like going into Superman's Fortress of Solitude.
Huh.
Right now, the way it is, like half of the ones on the left side of the bridge are painted and the ones on the right side are not. And it's like it's so much better looking. Like, they've been doing a lot of painting in Tomorrowland right now. I don't know if you've heard about that. Like, the TTA was they did some paint on the TTA. They did some, and they did a whole new color scheme on the Carousel of Progress.
Like, what color is it now?
It's like all different colors. It's like multicolored now.
It's the rainbow of the future?
It is. It's the rainbow of tomorrow, of all progress. Right. You got a problem with that?
No, that sounds wonderful.
It really does look cool. Like, I have to admit, like, it's awesome looking. But yeah, so the rocks now blue and metallic purple.
Okay.
Splash Mountain is closing for a one-day refurbishment, so you know what that means.
They got a skim.
They got a skim.
Somebody's breaking the skimmer out.
Yep, break that skimmer out. So, yeah, they are closing it on December 7th and reopening it on December 8th. So, I mean, what can you really do in one night or one day?
Aim the jets at Kevin Kessler?
Yes. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. The water jets hit some dude in the face, and he's going to talk about it on his stupid podcast now.
It would be so funny if every time he goes on this, we shoot him in the face with this jet.
Disney has sunk $10 million into facial recognition software just to splash this one podcaster in the face every time he steps foot onto one of these logs.
Like, the jet actually doesn't work any other time. Only when you're there.
It's like Free Dap, like, walked into, like, into Bob Iger's office. And was just like, listen, yo, we got a beef to settle. We need your help. And he was like, well, Free Dap, you are clearly the only thing bringing people into Disney Springs right now. So, yeah, I mean, whatever it's going to take, man. Whatever money we got to sink into this.
We can do it.
Can you believe that crooked Bob Iger sunk all this money into water jets just to attack one podcaster? How much more can we deal with, people? Crooked Bob Iger? No? I just wanted to get the Trump voice out one more time.
I do like your Trump voice.
Is it okay? Like, I literally just tried it for the first time on air.
Yeah, it's all cadence, really, you know?
I feel like it's kind of like what his soul sounds like.
Right.
So Haunted Mansion is also going down for a short refurbishment. A little bit longer than the Splash one, but still not very long. So going down on November 28th, reopening to guests on December 2nd. So you got about like a 4 or 5 day refurbishment, just enough to completely ruin somebody's trip, Peter Mandel.
That's always the way.
External refurbishments have been going on for the last month or so. There has been a scrim covering the outside of the mansion with a picture of the mansion on it. When I was there yesterday, I saw the scrim is actually halfway gone now. So the mansion is currently halfway visible or halfway hidden, depending on your outlook on life.
That would bum me out still.
Would you say it's halfway hidden or halfway visible?
In that case, I would say halfway visible.
Because you just want to be like, you want to be that guy in Magic Kingdom?
No, I'm usually never that guy. But, you know, in a situation where you're used to seeing something one way.
No, so, I mean, you would say halfway hidden then. Because I feel like halfway hidden is more of like, I feel like when you're saying it's halfway visible, you're being optimistic about it.
Oh, yeah, no, then I would say halfway hidden.
Okay.
Sure.
I was just happy to see
it. Normally an optimist.
Yeah, so. I was just happy to see it again. So I was kind of optimistic about it. I thought it was halfway visible.
All right. See, I wouldn't want to go and see any scrim, really.
Rather than curse the darkness, Peter Man, I'm going to light a candle. Hold it back. You can learn something about that. No Epcot news or DAC news this week, but Hollywood Studios news. Pizza Rizzo's nearly done.
Really?
The exterior is like completely done. Remember I sent you that picture a couple weeks ago of the exterior Pizza Rizzo?
Yes.
Well, it's like now almost completely done, and it looks just like the concept art that I sent you.
Huh. Well, it is amazing how they always do that.
My favorite part of it, and this is just that one of those perfect little Disney touches. You've got, it says like Pizza Rizzo out there, and there's a giant, there's a big sign right to the right of the entrance that says Pizza Planet. Okay?
Okay.
When you get closer to it, in really small letters, it says the best, and then it says pizza, and then in really small letters, on the big letters, planet.
Huh.
Isn't that neat?
It is kind of crazy.
Like, it brought me so much joy when I saw the Pizza Planet sign on there.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought so. Star Wars Galactic Spectacular fireworks show has got a reduced schedule going forward come October. Currently, Peter Mandel, it can be seen 7 nights a week. Come October, when the slow season hits, it will be taken down to 4 nights a week. So remember how you didn't have any reason to go to Hollywood Studios except for this show? Well, now for 3 nights out of the week, you have absolutely no reason to go to Hollywood Studios.
Even less reason.
Even less of a reason. Yep. Hope you're happy.
That's just crazy.
It is absolutely insane. I've seen this show, by the way. I've finally gotten to see it.
And?
It is, without a doubt, not only the best Disney fireworks show I've ever seen, probably the best fireworks show I've ever seen, period. It's so well coordinated. There are lightsabers fighting each other in the sky. There's a pyro coming out the top of the Chinese theater. I mean, it is... And the way they do the... like the projections onto the Chinese theater. I mean, there's nothing like it in Disney.
I mean, that's saying something.
It's like one half Wishes meets one half Celebrate the Magic meets one half Star Wars.
That is a hole and a half.
I know it's a hole and a half, but that's, this show is a hole and a half.
Nice.
So I really don't agree with putting it only 4 nights a week. I think it's the best fireworks show they have on property right now. And I don't understand how you can justify taking things away from Hollywood Studios at this point.
Well, again, I have to think they know what they're doing, you know?
I mean, but yeah, obviously they know what they're doing. We're not looking at projections, you know? Like, listen to us. Like, we're BP in the face, like, privy to all of crooked Bob Iger's, like, you know, insider info.
Right.
But, you know. So that's the news for this week.
All right.
There you have it.
It was something.
You happy with it?
Eh.
What was your favorite bit of news this week? I want to start doing that every week. What is Pete's favorite bit of news this week?
I'm going to say for you, it was the ambassadors.
Yeah, but like, what about you? Like, what does your heart tell you?
What do I think was my favorite piece of news? Huh.
Do you remember any of the news that we just went over, or does it just fly right out your head?
I'm curious about the Caribbean Beach.
Hype balloons.
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, folks, so we are going to take a quick commercial break. We are going to hear from the rest of our wonderful sponsors and the White Dragon Podcast Network, and we'll be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
He gave them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weicker autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weicker.
Depends on his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you got to return them before you leave the park that day. This is going to make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are going to thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, A little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Folks, there are so many wonderful audio animatronics in Walt Disney World. From the day Walt Disney first saw that audio animatronic bird and decided that he was going to bring life to this new innovative concept of technology, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, every Disney park throughout the known world has these amazing marvels as a part of its structure. So that got me wondering, Peter Mandel, which of them are the best? And we've done a top 10 before. We've kind of agreed on what are the best of the best, but what if we had to fight it out over them?
Interesting.
What if there was a schism between the two men and the mouse? The kind of schism that an ironclad team like DP in the face could never have, but maybe K squared and the Pete might.
Oh yeah, we're definitely gonna have that.
Yeah, like I totally think this. So that is why this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are doing an audio animatronic army draft. So what does that mean, army draft? Pete, I would like to present to you a scenario.
Okay.
Hitler is back as a zombie. Okay?
All right.
All right, are you okay?
So far, so good.
All right, so Hitler's back, and he raises an army of Nazi zombies to try to enact his living dead Fourth Reich.
Okay.
So he's going to assault the Earth. So Disney is like, Kevin and Pete, the two men and the mouse. B. Pete went down in the first wave of the Nazi zombie attack. We need the two of you to form dueling squadrons of audio animatronics to combat the zombie Nazi army.
I think we could do that.
I think we could totally do that. But like,
I don't know why they couldn't just use them. They're right there.
Well, I know. Maybe they just kind of need our input first.
Like, we're the generals, is what you're saying.
Exactly. Like, we are forming these elite strike teams. Like, maybe your audio animatronic army is going to land on Normandy. Mine's going to invade from the Pacific or something like that. Like, you know, just kind of like reenacting World War II, but with zombies.
All right.
You know, once again with Nazis.
And audio animatronics.
And audio animatronics. Like, which one of our teams eventually takes out zombie Hitler?
Right.
Is my thing. Like, and you know, obviously, you know, it's zombie Hitler. He has to be stopped.
Right.
Like, as bad as Hitler was, zombie Hitler is probably a lot worse.
I would imagine so.
Right. Okay, so, you know what? Zombie Nazi armies aside, we are also just kind of talking about, you know, our Haunted Mansion draft episode was a big hit. People loved it. There was a poll on the on our Facebook group about who had the better Haunted Mansion, you or me.
Okay.
You win this round, Peter Mandel,
did I win the Haunted Mansion round?
Decisively, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I want to say by like over 100 people.
Oh, nice.
You won the Haunted Mansion.
I was very happy with my squad.
So were a lot of people, because right. You decisively upended me in this one.
Okay.
So, but you know what? It's a new day. It's a new draft. You know, this whole zombie Nazi army thing was for kicks. But what really we're looking at this in terms of what are the best audio animatronics. So once again, as we do this, we are going to flip a coin to see who goes first.
Okay.
I assume you have a coin handy.
Am I doing it? Let's see. Let's open the register here.
Yeah.
I guess there's a chance there's just change in here, but I have a quarter. All right. What do you want, heads or tails?
I'm going to take tails. I always take tails.
All right.
Go for it.
It is tails.
Oh, there we go. Getting first pick again. Not that it helped much last time.
76 quarter. You can do it, Kevin. I have faith in you.
Okay.
Now, tell me again. We are picking. This isn't like a favorites.
I mean, I guess it could kind of.
Look, or am I picking to actually, am I picking with purpose?
You're not, I honestly, like, we were talking about, like, should we pick, like, about, like, militaristic, like, you know, advantage? But I honestly, I think that would be a bit of a stretch for our listeners who just want to hear about Disney.
Well, right, because at that point, we'd really just have to pick the biggest first.
Well, exactly. At that point in time, like, you know, we can make jokes about that, but I think, honestly, what we need to go with is what are the best animatronics. Like we're filling a park with animatronics, you know, zombie Hitler aside. Are we good with this?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so I'm going to keep track of who we pick here.
Oop. Oh, good. I don't even really have a first pick. Do you have, like, do you have yours, like, all written down?
No, like, I mean, I kind of have an idea of some of the ones that I want just because they're my favorites.
Right, me too.
There's not a whole lot of strategy to this. I mean, we were supposed to do the Defeat Pete game this week, but I didn't have time to put a game together. So, my first pick, I'm going to go, and here, okay, so here's the other thing. If there's more than one of this character in a ride, you can't be like, well, I pick the Ariel in the Part of Your World scene. Well, I pick the Ariel in the Under the Sea scene. Like, no, like one character per animatronic.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
So with that being said, I draft Captain Jack Sparrow from the end of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Really?
Sitting
That's
in the
who you go with first.
I go with Jack Sparrow first. Yes. I have a special
Jack the chair.
I have a special loving attack. I love that Jack Sparrow.
I mean, it's cool, but there's a you think that's the first pick. You know, Kevin, I'm going to give you Mulligan.
I'm sticking with that Jack Sparrow. Really dig him.
That's your first pick.
I love that scene.
That one.
Yeah.
The one that just tilts in the chair.
Yeah. He sings and he's looking at the jewels and his hands are going all Jack Sparrow-y. Love it.
All right. I mean, no, it's cool. It is cool.
You think I'm being foolish, don't you?
No, I mean, you really like it.
I have emotional attachment to this Captain Jack Sparrow. I would say I love it.
All right, I get
all right?
that.
It's near and dear to me. I really enjoy it, mostly because I've gotten to know it intimately as I sit and wait for my boat to dock.
Yeah, you know what? I will say, it might be one of the animatronics you see the most.
Exactly. You spend a lot of time with it.
It's inevitable that you're going to sit there.
Yep. All right, Pete. So what do you got
Hopefully
for
Hopefully with your boat not sinking.
Yes.
Full of water.
I'm taking on water. Jack, help us. He's too
much. Is that what it is? You actually pleaded with Jack to help you?
And I didn't die. So clearly he did something.
Like, just as you said that, he looked over and your boat started going. So you're like, oh my gosh, he totally did that.
Yeah.
He threw a couple gold doubloons to the people
he did.
Up front. Hurry up.
He totally did.
Well, that's pretty funny.
Meanwhile, you know, then he went outside to do his show with co-starring BP.
Right.
All right. So what do you got for what's your first one? What is so much better than Jack Sparrow?
I'm going to go with, and again, I'm sure there's 10 things I'd take before this. I didn't think it out too well, but I can't. But I think I'm animatronic and something really dynamic that I really love. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the Ursula from the Ariel ride, which I think is that Ursula to me is the real deal as far as like modern audio animatronics.
Oh, that was my next pick. You know what? And that was almost my number one pick.
Really? Yeah. I think that one's a big one.
I had a feeling that one was going to go.
Because I'm pretty sure, by the way, should we ever need these audio animatronics in army form, I don't want the guy who's sitting down all the time.
No, but I mean, like, that's like you get just it's Jack Sparrow. Like, you know, yeah. Like I feel like his mind is going to help us out of a lot of jams and his blind, breathtaking luck.
Right, and I'm sure his selfishness and self-preservation will.
Yeah, but he always comes back in the end. Like, he never really lets anyone go.
Yeah, you might be right.
All right, so you got Ursula. All right, so what am I taking next? I'm thinking in terms of, you know what? In terms of trying to decide which route I want to take here. You know what? Honestly, I feel like I need a keen military mind plus an awesome audio animatronic that really sets the scene for his attraction in a way that just gets you so pumped to ride it. And that is Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, great one. Love that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Buzz is a strong choice because I feel like it works in both the classic animatronic version and the version that would really be helpful in fighting against Nazi zombies.
Well, I got to tell you, unlike Jack, who I think might come back to bite you in the butt, I think if it came down to doing some damage, Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
He's going to do some stuff.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right. So what do you got for your second draft pick?
I'm going to take the big one. Now, where is this big one now? I don't know. Didn't we discuss how it wasn't there? But I'm going to go with Mr. Potato Head.
He is currently not there, but I will give this one to you.
But he exists.
But you've also never seen him.
I've never seen him in Orlando.
But, I mean, for all you know, the Mr. Potato Head in Orlando spends all day just talking smack about you. Because you've never seen him. You've never heard him.
He does. I've heard he's not a fan of me, but...
Listen, you want to know what... Listen, I know you're all waiting to ride this ride, but you know what really grinds my gears? This Peter Mandel guy on Two Men and the Mouse. I mean, where does this guy get off? Who does he think he is? Well, Potato Head's got some really strong opinions about Peter Mandel.
I'm willing to take that risk that we could put our differences aside.
You think you and Potato Head would be able to coexist in order to combat the zombie outbreak?
Listen, I doubt he wants to become French fries, so I'm gonna assume we can do
it.
Do
you think a potato is really in danger from zombies, though?
Yeah.
Do you feel no? But because like the zombies, like they don't eat like potatoes; they eat people.
He's a living potato.
So, what do you think? He's got like a potato brain in there.
He's got skin.
All potatoes have skin.
That's what I'm saying.
Whether maybe they're alive or not, like. I don't know. Like, what makes, like, what brings a potato? All right. You know what? We're getting at. But he's also not a real potato. He's a plastic potato. He's a toy.
That's what's going to make him more effective.
Because they can't turn him into a zombie. Oh, Peter Mandel. You
genius.
This was a good pick. I'm not going to lie. All right. So my next pick, I am going to go with, you know what? I feel like in these tough times, you need a born leader. You need a man who's not afraid to dole out orders, who, you know, you need a general who will sit behind the front lines and dictate and pontificate and have the foresight to understand that your army needs to make progress. And that is why I'm going with John from the
Rover.
Carousel of Progress. No. I'm going with John.
I mean, I feel like he sits down a lot, too. But you know what?
An awesome
audio animatronic.
And he can control machines with his voice, as evidenced by that last scene. Not well, mind you. But,
right.
You know, all technopaths need to, like, come into their own. It's a coming-of-age story.
Right.
Right?
I think that's a pretty good pick.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the power of Christmas on his side at the end.
I'm sure he could make a phone call to Grandma.
Yeah. Exactly. See? And we know that he's really great at doling out orders because, you know, Sarah, bless her heart, you know, she's wallpapering the rumpus room. And John is the facilitator. He's sitting there drinking a nice cup of iced tea, issuing orders. Somebody has to issue the orders.
I get that.
You need a leader.
Well, I think it's funny that you need a leader because my next audio
animatronic. Oh, you're about to take my next one. I can already feel it.
It's probably the most famous audio animatronic.
Oh, you're totally taking my next one.
And did actually lead our nation in some trying times. He's probably the most popular president of all time, not Donald Trump. But I'm going to go with
Rutherford B. Hayes, right?
I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, that was my next one.
I mean, really, he's like, you know, if you can't get him on your audio animatronic team, like, I don't know why you even bother. Because he's a big one, right?
He is a big one. Yeah, that is true. You know what? Like, and honestly, when it comes to, like, zombie, if you were to, like, pick one audio animatronic who's probably really good at fighting zombies.
Right.
It's Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, I mean, well, we already know.
What he did to the vampires.
If he can be a vampire hunter.
Right. Like, zombies are just kind of like... I would say to fight zombies is a shade easier than fighting vampires.
Yeah, definitely. Vampires, you know.
Vampires have the super strength. They have the supernatural abilities. Whereas zombies, like... I mean, it's mostly just about, like, are they a horde or are they just, like, a random assortment of zombies?
Yeah, they're like a strength in numbers kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so my turn, and I can't pick Abraham Lincoln because you stole it from me. I should have taken it. I knew I should have taken it. Okay, so. All right, we need a ringer here. We need, you know what we need? We need strength. We need girth.
Okay.
We need power. We need someone with the strength, dare I say, of a bear, Peter Mandel.
Nice.
That's why I'm going with Big Al.
I mean, he is a famous...
Yeah.
audio animatronic.
Absolutely. I mean, not only does he have the strength of a bear in which to plow through the zombies, but he is also one of the most classic animatronics in the Magic Kingdom. He is an icon of Disney parks. He is the takeaway from the Country Bear Jamboree. Now, you might be saying to yourself, maybe it's the inappropriate songs of the Country Bear Jamboree that are the takeaway. No. No, it's Big Al.
All right. I do see a lot of strength going on there with Big Al.
Yeah, you know, he's... I honestly feel like that's your tank. That's your juggernaut.
Right.
All right, so what do you got next?
Well, you know, a lot of... When you go wartime, and let's just think that way for a second, you know, part of it is really about rallying the troops and keeping everyone on the same page and motivated. And sometimes, my friend, that takes a little bit of entertainment.
Entertainment?
Who better to entertain this squad of audio animatronics than someone who I personally actually think has some ridiculous strength, because we don't know the levels of his alien capabilities. And that's my friend who comes equipped with his own backup army.
No!
Sunny Eclipse.
How did I miss this one?
Sunny Eclipse. Let me tell you, when Abraham Lincoln is like, Sunny, can you play a song for everyone? This is going to be a dream team of audio animatronics.
When this poll goes up, I'm probably voting for you, because I feel like you've trounced me yet again.
Well, it's still early.
Yeah, but I mean, you got Abraham Lincoln and Sunny Eclipse. I mean, like, so you're saying Sunny Eclipse is kind of like your Bob Hope in this situation. Like,
yeah,
he's here to entertain
the troops.
He's
going to keep everyone, like, you know, smiles on their face.
And... Do you think the Amazing Astro Organ has any offensive capability?
Of course it does. Look at that thing.
Come on. It's got to have a tank built into it.
Right. I mean, there's no way that doesn't have some kind of, like, you know, offensive ability.
All right. I can't believe I missed that one. All right. So, you know what? I feel like in these troubling times, you also need someone who is willing to negotiate. You need a mediator. You need someone who's willing to try to find common ground and negotiate a peace, even if it is with zombies. And that is why my next pick is the Pirate Auctioneer.
Interesting. I knew you were going to go that way.
Did you? Am I that predictable?
No, I think it's important.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, Pirate Auctioneer, I mean, and he is a very advanced audio animatronic, so there you go.
Right.
I mean, honestly, even before, I would say before the Pirates of the Caribbean overlay, before the movie overlay into Pirates of the Caribbean, he has to be the takeaway.
Yeah, right? I mean...
Right? Like it had to have been him.
I mean, he's such a big part of it.
Yeah, I agree. All right, what do you got?
All right, well, I'm going to go back kind of like my original picks and go with something a little more offensive, just because I think it's an awesome audio animatronic. I think it has some serious size and movement. I'm going to go with Hopper.
Hopper, that's a good one.
From Tough to Be a Bug. It's hands down one of my favorites. I mean, even the first time I went on it, you know, first trip to Disney World, I was like, that thing's really cool.
I would say hands down probably also the audio animatronic that is the most complex.
Well, I just like that he's full, you know, you see him, you know, pretty much feet up, like you see all of his body.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty neat.
I'm in 100% agreement with you here. Okay, so I need another one. I need a strong get here. You know what? I feel like you need, I don't even know how to, like, you need experience. You need people that have lived, that have been through it all. Lived through it all, and died through it all, Peter Mandel.
Okay.
That's why my next pick would be the Hitchhiking Ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to pick them. I didn't know how useful they would be.
You know what? I went with you know, the heart here.
Yeah, I got it. I'm with you.
I mean, a zombie can't bite a ghost, but then a ghost also probably can't, like... you know what? I don't know. Like, those hitchhiking ghosts can take a zombie's head, blow it up like a balloon, and pop it, and there goes the zombie.
That's true. There's some supernatural elements there that we couldn't even, like, predict.
Right. So, like, maybe like, the hitchhiking ghosts are, like, my shadow strike team that will infiltrate, you know, zombie Berlin and take out zombie Hitler.
I heard they walk very slowly.
The hitchhiking ghosts?
Yep.
Well, they're going to need a ride, obviously.
Yeah, it might take them a while to get that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like who's picking up Hitchhiking Ghosts? Well, a lot of people in Doom Buggies, but...
That's true.
Other than that. All right, what's your next pick?
Well, my next pick is not from the heart, even though I feel like it should be. I am going... Another important thing, if we're trying to put together a team, is communication. So if you are looking for someone who speaks, you know, let's say 9 or 10,000 languages, you would have to go to Goldenrod. That is C-3PO from Star Tours.
Very good. Very good one. Excellent
poll. Now, we both know I would love to pick a different audio animatronic out of Star Tours because I love it so much. But
right.
Really, when it comes down to it, this one is movie accurate. I mean, talks, turns. I mean, love that audio animatronic.
Yep, and has, could say a variety of different things based on what experience you get.
That's right.
But so, you know what you were saying about the Hitchhiking Ghost needing a ride?
Right.
I feel that in order to, I feel like I need someone to designate to give them said ride.
Okay.
Which, when you started talking about Star Tours, I got nervous because I thought you were taking my next pick. I think I, to deliver the package, to fly over Zombie Berlin and deliver the package that is the Hitchhiking Ghosts, you need a pilot. You need an ace pilot. You need Captain Rex.
No, you said ace pilot, Kevin.
I honestly think that he can be trained. I believe in him. I believe in second chances,
okay,
Peter Mann.
That's just important.
Just because
that's
you crash, Pete, why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves back up. That was
I don't do Nolan verse.
That was my Michael Caine. Why do we fall, Master Bruce? He had a ruby the size of a tangerine. No?
No.
You know, despite the Nolan verse and what it is, he was a good Alfred.
Well, Michael Caine's a good anything.
Oh, best Scrooge ever. When a cold wind blows, it chills you to the bone. Oh, is it November yet so I can watch that movie?
Hey, who needs George C. Scott?
Yeah, exactly. Don't even get me started on Jim Carrey. But no, I mean, honestly, I would say Muppet Christmas Carol is my all-time favorite.
It's funny. We you know, Christmas Carol's a big thing in my house, so we talk about a lot, like what our favorite Christmas carols are.
The Muppets.
You know what?
Name a Christmas Carol that's better than the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Well, I mean, if Ethan was here, he would tell you it's the George C. Scott. He loves that one. I mean, that's his hands-down favorite. And he watches all of them.
Okay.
I can tell you without a doubt that Abby's favorite Christmas Carol is the Mr. Magoo Christmas Carol.
Oh, Magoo. Oh, you done it again, Magoo.
She loves that.
That's my Mr. Magoo voice.
You know what? I'm going to rewatch the Muppets one soon, and I
it's
will
on HBO
know.
Right now, but I'm sure it'll conveniently be taken down right around Christmas.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect
it's been,
time.
It's literally been up since like February.
You know, I actually like the Jim Carrey one also.
I couldn't get into it. Tried it once just to have the Christmas. Mickey's Christmas Carol also very good.
All right. Well, listen. If Mickey's Christmas Carol is on the list, then that's my favorite. The problem is, like, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard for me to. You know, there's Christmas Carol, and then there's, like, a half-hour cartoon of the Smurfs doing Christmas Carol.
You know,
like...
I was in a play at the CDC Community Theater in Cranford, New Jersey, and it was a Winnie the Pooh Christmas Carol.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you about this?
You did a long time ago.
Yeah, so it was basically a guy that I know actually wrote it, and he just, you know, like, was like, well, okay, well, what if Christmas Carol is done by Winnie the Pooh characters? It was really good. It was, So I played Rabbit, which, yes, Peter Mandel. That means at one point in time, I was dressed in a big yellow bunny costume. But I was Rabbinezer Scrooge, so it's the closest I ever got to playing Scrooge.
Huh.
Eeyore was Jacob Marley. He was Jacob Meorley.
Was there any, like, rights involved here?
No, because Winnie the Pooh characters are technically public domain.
Oh,
as
really?
Long as you keep it to the books.
Interesting.
If A.A. Milne wrote them, you can use them. You cannot, however, use Gopher, because it's a Disney creation. You
right.
can't, like, do, like, the wonderful thing about Tiggers or anything like that. You can't do anything that's a Disney original, but you can. Just like, I can write a book about The Wizard of Oz tomorrow if I want.
Why don't you do that?
I'm not going to, because I don't really like The Wizard of Oz very much.
Whoa. Those are some strong words.
Shots fired! But anyway, yeah. There was Tigger Cratchit, Kanga was Mrs. Cratchit, Piglet was Piggy Tim, And Pooh, the use of Pooh Bear was phenomenal because Pooh Bear was all three ghosts.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It was so, so neat. I loved doing that show. It was a lot of, I just a little anecdote for you while we're talking about Christmas Carol.
Nice.
It's your pick right now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
So who did you pick?
I picked Captain Rex.
Right. I thought that was ridiculous. Who am I? You know, I'm going to take a little bit of a wild card.
Go for it.
I'm also going to take a character that you're going to be like, wow, really? You don't really care about that. But just in thinking of, you know, trying to have like a well-managed team, I'm going to take someone who's probably not well-managed but could probably do some damage. I'm going to take Stitch from Stitch's Great Escape.
Oh, he was on my list to take. I didn't think in a million years you were going to take that.
He's the only thing from that entire thing that I like. I mean, literally, there is nothing in that attraction I care about. Except I do like the 626.
I mean, listen, my what I was going to use is my offense. He's offensively capable.
Oh, absolutely. He's a destruction machine.
He's a destruction machine. He's got two laser guns and he spits.
Right.
I honestly, Pete, I did not think in a million years you were ever going to take him. So I thought it was safe to wait.
See, that's the problem with drafts.
Yeah. All right, so my next pick, which is obviously not going to be Stitch like it was supposed to be.
Was that your next pick?
It was on my list of like things in my head to like go to like within the next few picks. Yeah, I thought I had more time. Isn't that always the case? You always think you have more time. Okay.
Bummer.
Yep. So, think.
Don't tell me you got nothing.
No, I got something. I'm just trying to decide. Like, I got to strategically do this because I can't have you, you know, taking things from me. You know, I need an offensive powerhouse as well. And that is why I'm going into the Great Movie Ride. And I am taking the alien from Aliens.
Really?
Yep. I'm taking the alien because I feel like... could you imagine, like, the alien versus zombies? Oh, I'm writing that screenplay.
I mean, I agree. It sounds kind of cool, but... I don't know.
Do you feel like... But see, like, the alien, like, you can't control him. Like, you have to just aim him.
I mean, you can control him. He doesn't have legs.
We're not talking about it in terms of that. You know, Sigourney Weaver seems pretty concerned.
Yeah. She does have that look plaster on her face.
Like I said, it's like the Hulk. Like, you can't control it. You have to aim it.
Right.
So, like, you release the alien, like, in the... Like maybe Captain Rex, after he drops off the hitchhiking ghost... Like, does an airdrop, and he drops the alien, like, right in the center of Zombie Berlin.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
What do I have? I am going to go with... I mean, I have a couple options that I like. I only have a couple that I'd be devastated if you took. I'd be, like, bummed out. You know what? I'm going to go with my heart and take one that I know you're probably like, what's the point of that? But I can't help it. It's one of my favorite audio animatronics.
Okay.
I am going to take the lady from the computer room on Spaceship Earth, a.k.a. Foxy Brown.
You know what? Foxy Brown was actually on my list of potentials.
I love her. And everyone knows I love her. So whoever I'm riding that ride with is like, oh, look. Plus, now that I feel like in the years since then, she has developed a serious ability with computers.
She is a Pokestop.
And she's a Pokestop, so I'm gonna go with her. I think she is a must have.
All right,
she would be, you know, something cool to have.
All right, well, you know what? One thing you need in war, Peter Mandel, is communication. You need people that are gonna be able to create, you know, messages that even if they're intercepted, are going to not be able to be deciphered by the enemy. Which, I mean, granted, is not hard. They're zombies; they probably can't read.
Right.
But I need people that have. I need people that both have a history of creating alphabets and are also beloved by you, Peter Mandel, and I'm taking the Phoenicians.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. You really think they're gonna do it for you?
I think the Phoenicians are going to be vital to my espionage efforts. Yeah.
All right.
What do you got?
I'm going to go with... In the need for some more offensive firepower and potential magic, I'm going to go with the Wicked Witch.
The Wicked Witch. Good one. Good pull.
I feel like she could be, you know, helpful.
I forgot about her. I also feel that, you know what? You know the one way to stop a zombie, right? You have to stop the brain.
Right.
You need to stop the brain. Like, the brain activity is what powers the zombie, even though the body is currently not alive. So, what you need, Peter Mandel, is someone who is an expert on the brain. Okay?
All right.
Following me here?
I'm with you.
That's why I'm dredging up. I am going into the Disney archives, and I'm pulling out an animatronic that knows the brain better than anyone. I'm pulling out Buzzy from Cranium Command.
Really? Buzzy? I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's probably an age limit.
No, Pete, this is wartime. Okay?
Really?
No, yeah, there's no age limits here. It's not about age limits, it's about no limits.
I feel like you're getting desperate.
It's kind of Thunderdome at this point.
Okay.
Mankind's on the brink here, Peter Mandel. Are you going to really say that this expert can't... What about Bucky? What about Bucky in World War II with Captain America? He was a 12-year-old boy.
Right, how'd that go?
Exactly. Well, all right, maybe that's not the best example. Okay, touche. It worked out in the end.
Well, the very end.
Well, yeah. Like, it's okay now. I mean, like, yeah, there was like 70 years of, like, you know, horrific mental torture, but... All right, well, I compose myself. What do you got?
I'm going to go again with strength and size. I think that they're two impressive things, whether you're visiting a theme park and want to see an animatronic, or if you're trying to make an army. I'm going to take the Carnotaurus from Dinosaur.
Good pull, Peter Mandel. Good pull with the Carnotaurus. I appreciate that.
I think that is a little bit of chaos. You know, you tell me you can't picture Stitch as 626 riding a Carnotaurus into some crazy nonsense.
You know what? Before you mentioned that, the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life was a picture of Batman fighting a shark with a lightsaber.
Right.
But now it's Stitch riding a Carnotaurus.
I know. Awesome.
Fighting,
right?
Zombies.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's awesome. Like, I cannot get over how awesome that is. I don't know. Batman fighting a shark with a lightsaber is still pretty cool, though.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool also.
Yeah, have you ever seen that picture?
No.
It's like a pretty famous piece of fan art. Like, it's awesome. He got a red lightsaber, too. Like, Batman's using the dark side, which is, I mean,
right.
I very much approve of. Okay, so what else we got here? Oh, you know what? What good is a war without the spectators who will eventually tell your tale? Okay, and a little levity is always needed in these trying times. That's why I am taking Statler and Waldorf from Muppet Vision 3D.
Nice, good one.
Thank you.
I like that. By the way, they just put out new Statler and Waldorf figures.
Did they really?
And they come in the balcony.
Oh, how cool is that?
They're so awesome. Remind me before we end this to show me.
Yeah.
I mean, super duper cool.
Yeah. All right. What else you got?
Where do I want to go? I mean, I desperately want to pick the Yeti because I actually like his uselessness.
I mean, like, that's the thing. I feel like this goes until one of us picks the Yeti. Like, I figured that would be like the point where it's almost like the card game Old Maid.
Yes.
Where it's like you have to keep going until somebody gets left with the Old Maid. I feel like the Yeti is the Old Maid. So really only take the Yeti if you are done.
Right.
Because it doesn't move.
Right.
I mean, listen, if that Yeti did what it was supposed to do, it would have been first round pick, no questions asked.
Hmm.
You know?
Tough call. You know, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go with... again, kind of like you picked Cranium Command, right?
I did.
For the knowledge of the brain.
Right.
I am going to take Socrates for the knowledge of the mind.
Where is Socrates in Spaceship Earth?
He is in Spaceship Earth, yes.
Yeah. All right, good one. Good pull with Socrates, and now I'm faced with the dilemma of whether I take another pull or if I go with the Yeti and end the game. Huh. Okay, so... thinking. Okay, you know what? I need somebody who's going to get out of binds. I need somebody who, if when faced, you know what? Not only do I need somebody who I think can really bust some zombie heads, I need somebody, Peter Mandel, who is skilled in the defeat of Nazis.
Okay.
I need Indiana Jones.
Wow, great one.
From The Great Movie Ride. Cannot believe it's this late in the game, but I'm going with Indiana Jones. Just, I mean, come on. The guy, you know, he's an expert in this field.
Yeah.
The paranormal and Nazis. I mean, how was he not my first pick?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good one. You know, that could be a game changer.
I feel like he might be the savior of my army here.
Right.
All right, what do you got?
Well, I'm going to match your Jack Sparrow. I'm sure at some point there's going to be some, you know, C-type battles, and I'm sure he is just as good of a captain. I'm going to take Captain Hook from Peter Pan.
Oh, okay. I was actually already writing down a different pirate audio animatronic that I thought you were going with, but okay. Captain Hook. I like it. You don't think Captain Hook is a little bit too bumbling?
Yes, for
this operation?
But I'm going to, you know, call upon his expertise, his many years of chasing Peter Pan.
Yeah, but he's also never succeeded in actually, like...
But now we're going to make that happen for him.
Right, okay. But you also know that you're not getting the Captain Hook... You're not getting Captain Hook's voice. You're getting, "Fire, Mr. Smee." It's just like that random dude's voice. Like, it's not even a voice that sounds anything like Captain Hook.
Sorry, no one will not remember what his voice sounded like. We're at war here with zombies.
That's very true, and he is a master swordsman.
Right.
All right, remember what I said about, you know, knowledge of Nazis and their weaknesses coming to play? I got to go with a classic here. I got to go with an oldie but a goodie. I got to go with Humphrey Bogart.
Really? Why? What's he going to do?
I got to go with Rick from Casablanca. I mean, he outwits the zombies. I mean, not the zombies, the Nazis.
All right.
And he's selfless. He's the guy that's going to lay on the wire for the other guy to crawl over because he gives up the love of his life.
You can't kill zombies with one-liners, though. You know what I mean? He's going to be trying to give those big dramatic one-liners.
Listen, he handled the Nazis pretty well in Casablanca.
All right. That was just a movie, Kev.
But this is also a super Humphrey Bogart because, as we know, Ingrid Bergman was actually taller than Humphrey Bogart through the filming of this movie. So they actually, like, they made the audio animatronic taller because throughout the filming of Casablanca, Humphrey Bogart was standing on apple boxes during all of their scenes.
Right.
So this is not only Humphrey Bogart, this is like a gamma-radiated Humphrey Bogart who's actually grown several inches. This is like the Humphrey Bogart Hulk.
Right. Do you think there's any chance that you could actually frustrate the zombies into quitting?
Do zombies get frustrated?
Well, I feel like my next pick might get them frustrated. I'm going to have to go with a fan favorite, and that's Figment.
Figment.
Who I could really see Figment, like, really, you know, being kind of, like, hard to get a hold of and, you know, just flat out bothering them.
You zombies need to use your imagination. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, maybe he hits him with some of that skunk smell.
Would that bother the zombies? They're already decaying.
Oh, I'm sure there's other smells.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Fresh flowers. They probably hate that.
This is seriously a race as to who's going to have to take the Yeti, isn't it? All right. Okay. I got it. You know what? You were talking about... You took Sunny Eclipse because you needed entertainment for the troops, right?
That's right. That's right.
I need entertainment for my troops as well because their spirits need to be lifted. That is why I'm taking Donald Duck, Jose Carreras, and Panchito, the three caballeros.
I thought about taking them, but it didn't make sense after I had the musical machine known as Sunny Eclipse.
Yeah, and we clearly defined that it has to come with weapons.
There's no way it doesn't.
All right, what do you got? You're taking the Yeti this round. There's nothing else.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know what? Listen, I will take the Yeti and use the Yeti as a decoy. Because when they see the Yeti, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, they got something
going on. Wait, so are you taking the Yeti? Keeping in mind that the Yeti is the old maid and this ends the game.
You know what? I feel confident in the rest of my pick. So you know what? I'll take the Yeti.
Wow. You know what? I got to hand it to you, Peter Mandel, because you literally just took... You took the old maid, and you were just like, I can take the old maid because my team is so strong.
Yeah, I feel like my team's a really solid team. I'm super happy with it.
I'm actually really happy with your team as well. I really think you beat me on this one, but I hope that some people will still fit like mine as well.
All right, I'm sure they will. You have great, great picks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. So we have 14 each, basically, here.
Okay.
So a 20, we have 28 animatronics in these armies. All right, so mine is Captain Jack Sparrow, Buzz Lightyear, John from the Carousel of Progress, Big Al the Bear from Country Bear Jamboree, Pirate Auctioneer, the Hitchhiking Ghost, Captain RX-24, the Alien from Aliens, the Phoenicians, Buzzy from Cranium Command, Statler and Waldorf from Muppet Vision 3D, Indiana Jones, Humphrey Bogart, and the Three Caballeros. You have Ursula, Mr. Potato Head, Abraham Lincoln, Sunny Eclipse, Hopper, C-3PO, Stitch, Foxy Brown, the Wicked Witch of the West, the Carnotaurus, Socrates, Captain Hook, Figment, and the Yeti.
I mean, come on, that makes me happy.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln alone is winning this war.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone can.
I mean, of all the animatronics, he's the one with the big, strong man arms that are going to just like, you know, punch his way to victory.
Right.
All right. So anything else you want to add here? Do you think that was there any like notable? I mean, nobody took Barbossa.
Yeah, no real desire for that.
But see, I feel like if Barbossa was still wearing his pirate outfit, he would have been higher. He would have been high up on my list.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's just I can't stand that he's wearing that Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides outfit. Like, yeah, not for nothing. This ride was closed for 6 months. Change his clothes.
Seriously.
Where be Captain Jack Sparrow? Or by thunder, we'll burn this city to the ground. Ugh, I should have taken BB-8. There's a BB-8 audio animatronic that's featured in the Star Wars stage show.
Eh, really, what's BB-8 doing? I mean, if you're going to take BB-8 over R2, come on.
Oh, yeah, there is an R2 audio. Nobody picked R2.
I thought about taking R2, but I had C-3PO. So
and like, you have an R2 audio animatronic in the store, so he's pretty much yours already. That's true.
I try and go well-rounded in my picks.
One of these days, you got to order the C-3PO that goes with that R2.
I can. I don't want to hear him talk all the time.
Does he have to talk? Like, do you have to keep on?
I guess
on?
Not, but...
You said that, like, they don't, like, mesh together, though, like, right? Like, you can't do, like, the iconic pose with them.
Yeah, they both come on, like, these, like, black platforms. Now, ironically, my R2 is not on it. I don't need it. R2 can stand on anything. Right. But the 3PO has to stand on it. So okay. R2 cannot be close enough to him to actually put the hand on the head. Isn't that funny?
That is weird. You'd think you'd want them to be like close together like that.
Right.
Huh. Well, that's a conundrum of the highest order. I do love that R2-D2 of yours.
Yeah, you know, I had to have it.
Yeah. All right, so are we about ready for this week?
I am.
Nothing else you want to add? Nothing, you know, inspirational?
Well, I have very little inspiration this week, but I got to tell you, is there anything better than audio animatronics?
No, and we added the jovialness of like the we're forming an army to fight zombies, like just kind of make it fun and funny for everybody on a subject that we pretty much already kind of covered, which is audio animatronics. But I could talk about audio animatronics all day, every day. It's just like, and I think that's the thing that I honestly, you know, we always talk about how much we love doing this show, and it's not work. Like it's stuff that we could talk about all day, every day. And we know you guys can too, which is why we love having you guys talk with us about it. We love hearing your guys' opinions. So I would love to hear your opinions on our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2meninthemouse. I want to hear all about, you know, your favorite animatronics. So, you know, write something, tag me in it. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you guys. So please. You know, and I'll let Pete know what you say. Right?
Please do. Yep.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. 121 episodes, Pete.
Wow. Really?
121 episodes. Yep. That's, you know, that's us right there.
That's us. Yeah.
Folks, please give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/2meninthemouse, Twitter at 2meninthemouse. White Dragon Podcast Network is on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, and we are on Twitter at White Dragon PN. We are also on Instagram at White Dragon PN. Folks, please also join in the discussion along with us and all of our great friends from around the world on our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. If you want your questions answered on a future show, we got to get Dave in here to answer some more questions soon.
Yeah, I mean, any show with Dave's always, you know,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, we've got the next couple, we got the next like 2 weeks planned out, I think. But after that, I think it's definitely time to get Dave in there. So start thinking of your questions.
We can make
a
list and try and find, like, you know, has Dave done it?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, that could be a good game for a good round for Defeat Pete. Like, people send in stuff, and I'll bring it up, and you guys have to guess, did Dave do it, yes or no?
Interesting.
That's a really cool game. I think we just, we're on to something here. Folks, if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it. Tweet it out. Talk it up. Tell a friend or a family member. Give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and we really always appreciate the love and the passion that you guys have for this show. Folks, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel and his check out his comic book store, Rogue Comics. If you happen by Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or check him out online, roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. You got any Disney stuff on that eBay store right now?
I think the new Haunted Mansion poster for the comic that just came out. And there's like some Figment posters and stuff.
Masters, you have to get on there and get that stuff. Haunted Mansion, Figment. I mean, it's right in your wheelhouse. Folks, also please check out our good friend Mikey Wisenhunt's t-shirt store over at teepublic.com/user/magical meltdown. Also, folks, if you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please talk to our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. You can always find him on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave or email dave@magicaltravel.com. Folks, if you are taking a trip to Walt Disney World and you need to rent the crib or stroller of your dreams, but you don't want to pay the obscene prices that the parks charge, please check out kingdomstrollers.com. They will get you the best possible price for your crib or stroller rental and deliver it right to your Disney resort. Also, folks, if you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your daily life, check out The Wisdom of Walt, the book by Jeff Barnes detailing how Walt Disney created Disneyland and how you, the reader, can apply these lessons to your daily life. And also, folks, for me, please check out my new book, Ross and Ante. Relatively new. It came out in May. But we are taking down the vintage edition within the next few months. We are relaunching it at that time. So get the vintage edition with a cover designed by Mikey Wisenhunt of Magical Meltdown. You know, get it while you can before it becomes, you know, before it goes extinct, basically. You can find that on Amazon.com, Rosinanti, or look up my name, Kevin J. Kessler, or visit my Facebook page, facebook.com/KevinJKessler, and follow me on Twitter @KevinJKessler. Thank you all so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
Well, anytime we get to talk about robots, it's a good thing.
Robots and zombies.
That's right.
You know? And you know what? I really... You know, we punched some Nazis in the face this week, and I like to think, you know, much like Indiana Jones, I hate those guys.
Yes, we did some damage.
We did some damage today, but good damage. Damage that protected the world. All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives, and we will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.